music. I like that.
For the past few weeks, we've been talking about prayer. And we talked about what prayer means, how some people pray. We learn about different styles of prayer, you know, like really quiet yourself down before the Lord, you know, kind of work through a list in terms of praying for your family, for your job, for the church, for your friends, different ways of praying. And today we're going to continue on the same note, thinking about prayer at the speed of life. Life happens, how do we pray, type of thing. So let's pray. Lord, we invite you to be in our hearts and minds this morning. Through your Holy Spirit, bring life to the words we're going to hear, and may our lives be changed by your word. Today's gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5. We're going to start with verse 5. You can follow me on the screens. Jesus said, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like that, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." This is the word of the Lord for God's people. What is prayer? Why pray? Does prayer work? When do I pray? Does God hear my prayers? Is prayer something more than just good vibes somebody sends my way when they say, "I'm going to pray for you"? No, good vibes? Is it more than that? Those are questions that are familiar to some of us, and one way or another, they shape our definition and understanding of prayer. Along the history, many books have been written about prayer. Many cultures and religions try to define prayer, and it will be nice today if we can say, we got it. We know how to pray. You know, we have all this foundation work done before us, so we know how to pray. Reality is that prayer becomes very personal to us, and most of us, we get to a point where we still ask ourselves, how do I pray? What does prayer mean for me? So, in a sense, something that is meant to connect us to God becomes a burden. And for me, that definition of prayer, that way of looking at prayer as a burden, started to shape up early as a child. Many of you know that I grew up Greek Orthodox, and in that mindset, when you pray, you go to a holy place, you go to the church, you pray in the church. Not only that, but they are holy men, you know, you have the priest, and if you really want to experience God, you really go to a monastery, because God lives there much more than he lives in the church. So pretty soon my idea of prayer was confined to a place. More than that, pretty soon I learned that in order to pray, you write your prayer down on a piece of paper, on a note, you add a $10 bill, and you go and give it to the priest during the service on Sunday morning. So, I don't know, should we do that? But you understand, those type of things that I learned pretty soon shaped my understanding of prayer. So what prayer meant for me at that point, it was something that I hired out. It was something impersonal, something that somebody did for us. And in our tradition, we do the same thing. We don't take money, but we say, well, you pray for me because you know how to pray. Okay? Won't you pray for me on this one, Jeff? And everything is going to be okay, right? Because you are more connected to God than I am. You see, those are the things that shape our prayer. Later on, when I became a Christian, I started attending a Presbyterian church. And I thought that I finally got it. I understand, right now the true gospel, in a way. I'm being facetious there, okay? I soon found out that that didn't help me with my prayer. You see, the whole Reformed tradition added a few more layers to my prayer life. First, it was this whole idea that you need to have a habit of praying. You need to make a habit of it. You pray 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night, and I go like, at night, I put my head down, I'm out before 30 minutes. I mean, let's be serious. You know, then on top of that, not only when you pray, you use nice big words. Those people that prayed in church, man, they could pray. Nice long prayers, big words, very impressive. And I go like, I don't want to pray. Nothing. Then I found out about this other thing that people are doing. They take some time in the summer to go to a retreat for 3 days of silence before God. Now, if you know me, you know that I like to talk a lot. So 3 days in silence, it was really a nightmare. But those are things, you know, those are layers that try to shape my prayer. So right now I'm looking at this thing that is impersonal. It has to be big, glorified. But I said, you know what, seminary is going to solve all those things, right? So I get to seminary and I hear this this quote by Martin Luther that says, when I'm really, really busy, I pray 3 hours before I start my day. If that is prayer, where am I? So you can understand my frustration with prayer. So along the way, we get to this point, and I think this is the most important thing for me. Prayer has to become personal. Prayer has to come and find that definition within you of what it is. So I would like to share with you today what prayer means for me, how I look at prayer. And there is where I have this fancy title of Prayer, the Speed of Life, because I believe that when life happens, prayer happens. And if you don't remember anything else from this sermon today, this is what I want you to remember. Wherever I am, God is. And wherever I am, I can invite God to be in that place. Wherever I am, there is God. And wherever I am, I can invite God's presence to be there. There are three instances in the Bible, and I promise I'm going to be short. No, we're not going to be here all day, where I think we find some stories that give us an insight in prayer at the speed of life. Pastor Dale Hammond already read the passage from Exodus about Moses and Amalek and his armies. For a moment, picture this. Amalek, bad guy, lots of power, big army comes against Israel. So Moses, the leader, sees this and he kind of thinks to himself, this is one of those crucial moments, you know, where tomorrow we might not make it or we're going to be victorious and we'll know that God is with us. So it's a big, big, important moment in their history. So he looks around and says to his best buddies, hey, come over here. This is what we're going to do. You remember the staff that God gave me? You know, the staff that I took in front of Pharaoh and I threw it to the ground, changed into a snake. You know that one? Yeah. That staff that I had at the Red Sea and I lifted up, that staff and the sea parted. Oh, yeah, that. Well, I'm going to take that staff with me. And tomorrow when you guys are fighting, I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to remind everybody that God is with us in the middle of all this. And everybody's like, ooh, good job, we're going to go and get him. So next day, battle happens, and Moses is out there, and he's praying, and for a moment he gets tired. He loses focus, and his arms get tired. So he kind of puts his arm down, and the battle turns around. They're losing. Lifts up his arms again. They're winning. So there's all this going back and forth of losing focus or being tired in that constant battle and being back in the presence of God. And this story reminded me of life. And there's this part of prayer that I like to define it. Everybody knows it, prayer. Okay? Everybody knows it, prayer. How many of you are on Facebook? Don't be shy. It's not a sin. I said it's not a sin, okay? If you're on Facebook, from time to time, when you scroll through your feed, you will see somebody saying, pray for me, okay? Sometimes they just say, just pray for me. And sometimes they go and say, well, my dog and something, you know, and pray for me. But sometimes there is some serious stuff in there. You know, like somebody saying, you know, my wife is having a baby and the doctor said that she needs to stay home. That's a serious matter. Or there is somebody that says, I need prayers because I'm losing my job or I have to transfer. There is some serious stuff if you open your eyes and see those kind of things. Is everybody knows those type of prayer. So what do we do with that? Well, most of the time we just scroll to the next thing and we go like, oh, look, a picture with a dog. And we forgot about it. But I want us to grab this part of prayer. There is a part in us that says, I need you. I need you to pray with me in my life. As life happens for me, I want you to be part of that. Moses, when he called his buddies and said, we're going to go to battle, he just didn't say, you're going to go and battle and I'm going to stay and watch. No, he said, I'm going to be praying for you. How many of you are familiar with Braveheart, the movie? Okay? I'm going to do my worst impression ever of William Wallace. He says, they might take away our lives, but they will not take away our freedom, right? It was really bad, thank you. But think about it. That is that prayer. That is that everybody knows prayer. It is us staying in front of people and saying, I need your help. I need you to walk along with me, to battle with me. And for us to fight together on this thing. Because here's the truth. After being in the midst of it for a while, our hearts get weary. Our minds lose focus. We lose faith. And there's the point where somebody comes along and says, how are you doing today? Okay, you can make it. I know you can. I'm praying for you. Remember, God came through for you in the past. And remember, God will come through again. We need those type of prayers. Prayers at the speed of life happens when we get people around us that are able to support us. So I'll encourage you to be one of those people that says, you know what? I'm going to be just like Moses, I'm going to round up my troops before I go into battle. And we're going to pray. And we're going to see this through. Because it's important. There's another story in the Bible. The Bible has so many stories. Isn't that great? And there is this story about Hannah in 1 Samuel. And if you know anything about Anna, know that she's a woman in need. I mean, if you look at her situation, you can think from outside that she has a pretty good life. I mean, she has a loving husband that seems to be providing for her very well. He takes special care of her, gives her extra offering that she can bring to the temple, and so forth. But from outside, she looks no sad. But in the same time, her reality is different because she is in this dispute with the other wife, where the other wife has a baby and she doesn't. So she gets picked on, you know, made fun of. And pretty soon you have Anna in the temple. And if you read 1 Samuel 1, 10 to 11, you find Anna praying and weeping before the Lord, saying, Lord Almighty, if you'll only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servants, but give her a son that I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. And no razor will be used on his head. If you look at Anna, at who she really is, you really find a total different picture. She's a broken down, being, asking for help. And her prayer is pretty much, only God knows my prayer. We all have those only God knows prayers. Those prayers that are so deep, so personal, that we don't even dare to share with anybody because we're too ashamed, because we are thinking that we are powerless. If you are to think of someone in your life right now that needs prayer, more likely they do have that same type of prayer as Anna did. Lord, look down on my misery. Help me out. So you have Hannah here in the temple, and as always, the priest has the perfect answer for her. He sees her praying, her lips are moving, nothing is coming off, and the priest looks at her and very pastoral says, go home, you're drunk. Okay? He doesn't understand what's happening. But then she has the strength to say, Lord, man of God, hear me out. I am none of that. I didn't drink the wine. I didn't drink the beer. I didn't do any of it. My reality right now, my life right now is really, really yucky. And I need God's help. And I was praying. And I was saying to God what was on my heart. At that moment, Eli realized that he did a big whoops. So he stepped back and says, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. This is, in one way, the hardest prayer for us to wrap our minds around. Because it's so personal, but in the same time, when we are able to utter those words out to somebody, this prayer has the power to change our reality. Not only our reality, but of the people around us. How many times we walk around seeing somebody that we know they are a very happy-go-lucky person type of thing, and you see them really miserable. And you just kind of wave it off saying, oh, maybe they're having a bad day. How many times we are those people and we want somebody to come and say, what are you doing? What's going on in your life? Only God knows. You know, here's the cool thing about this. Eli was totally wrong in what he said to her. Right? That's not pastoral. That is not polite. That is crass. You are drunk. Go home. But he was the only one in that temple that went and approached her. How crazy is that? Sometimes we need people to make that extra step to go and say, how are you doing? One of my favorite questions to ask is, how's your life? And if you didn't get asked that question, I'm sorry. You will at some point. How is your life? And most of the time, the end result of that question is a conversation that I go and say at the end, it was meant to be. All of us have a God only knows prayer, and we desire for somebody to come out and say, how are you doing? Let me walk alongside. We don't need to have words of wisdom. We don't need to have answers. We don't need to say, oh, I know exactly the right prayer for you right now. If you're dealing with this, I have this prayer, it will work. No. The priest could have said that. He had all the prayers. He was the man. He says, you know what? Whatever you prayed, may God listen, hear that. Whatever you said, go with the confidence that God is there. And sometimes that is what we need in our lives. That sweet reminder that God is still at work, that He's present. And if we don't feel His presence, we can say, you know what? Thanks for reminding me. The third story is probably my favorite story. It's about Jesus and His disciples As always, Jesus is teaching, and I can picture this, you know, lots of adults, good conversation going on, talking with Jesus about the law, what is the most important thing, and everybody is very engaged. And at one point, there's a group of kids coming through, and parents say, "Hey, go to Jesus. You see that guy? Go to him. He is the Son of God. He will bless you if he blesses you." Man, that's cool. And the disciples say, "Oh, wait, you cannot do that. You cannot go in. He's teaching." But Jesus, I can picture this, just waves big and say, "Hey, just let the little kids come to me. Let them come here. Let them experience the presence of God. Let them experience the blessing that we have." I love this story because to me, this is life. We go about our meetings. We go about our day-to-day. You know, you're in the car, driving, drinking, coughing, eating your sandwich, your breakfast, and you're hoping you're not going to hit anybody, and you go like, "I forgot to pray this morning." Or you're thinking about somebody, you know, comes to your mind, and then there is this song that comes on the radio, you know, "Lord, why won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" You know the song? Well, it's not necessarily, I would like a Mercedes now that I think about it, but it's not necessarily that. It's the fact that that little song triggers you to remember God. There are moments in our life when life happens and life is what is and God's presence just comes in. You know, it's when you get the text message that says, "I'm praying for you. I know VBS is going to be great. I'm praying for you." You go through life and you get somebody walking up to you and says, "Hey, how did that thing that we did some time ago, how where is that now? Oh, we went really, really good." God is at work. It's those type of moments that are life as is prayers. How many times we're surrounded ourselves with family, with friends, around the bonfire or something, and we look around and say, "Life is great." But we kind of forget about the little thing that says, "God is here." Or you take a walk at night and you look and you see all the light bugs and you see the stars, and you kind of go, "Wow, God is awesome." There are moments in our lives when we should recognize God, but we don't, because we look at life happens. And what I want you to remember, where life happens, God happens. Where life is, there is God. And in that presence, the things we do, the things we say, can be a prayer. No big words, no big hooplas. Just recognizing God's presence there is important. The more you pray, the less you panic. The more you worship, the less you worry. You'll feel more patient and less pressured. Rick Warren wrote that in a book about the joy of Christmas. The more you pray, the less you panic. You know, if we could live our lives in a way where we recognize that our lives is indeed a prayer, how beautiful that will be. And that is what I'm praying for us, that as we go forward, everything we do and everything we are is a prayer. So may God help us to that.